All right, Eastritas, let's do this thing. Is there anybody alive out there? What
Hey, how's it going, eh? I'm Lee McCormick. Welcome to Tramps Like Us, a Bruce Springsteen podcast, episode 103, Letter to You, First Impressions. It's a great time to be a Bruce fan these days because we have a new album. Not only is this a new Bruce Springsteen album, it's a new Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band album. Really excited for this. Thanks for listening and downloading via the website, trampslikeuspod.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you found the show. Stay updated at the Facebook group page, Tramps Like Us, a Bruce Springsteen podcast. I'm very excited to hear this record. If you heard the last Tramps Like Us episode 102, I gave my thoughts on the singles that were released ahead of the album. The title track, Letter to You, and Ghosts. For this episode, I'm going to listen to the full album for the first time and give you my first impressions after each song. I did a similar thing last year with the Western Stars album and Little Steven's Summer of Sorcery. That was a lot of fun, so I figured I'd do the same thing here. Now, this isn't an album review per se. I'm not doing any research or analyzing the lyrics in depth like I would for a regular album review show. This is my initial thoughts after one listen. And we also have a really cool companion documentary film being released as well. Directed by Tom Zimley, Letter to You goes behind the scenes and documents the recording process for the album. After I listen to the record for the first time, I'm going to watch the doc, and I'll also give you my first impressions on that. But let's start with the record. This double LP album, Letter to You, was delivered to my door a few hours ago. So let's open it up and give it a spin. I'm holding this record, this 2LP vinyl record. This is Bruce Springsteen, Letter to You. Hype sticker on here, new album featuring the E Street Band. We got like a cool picture of Bruce's face and like it's like half cut off and there's some snow. We turn the record over. We got Bruce in those air pilot jackets, those bomber jackets like Rocky had when he went to Russia to train. Those like brown leather jackets with the fur collar. Pretty cool. Looks like he's standing in Central Park or something like that. And it's snowing. I guess these photos were taken by Danny Clinch when he was doing his Springsteen on Broadway there in New York City. So looking at the back, we got side A, side B, side C. Get like a blank record on side D. It's kind of a jip. Anyway, let's open this up. You can hear me tearing the plastic. I'm going to look at this for the first time and let you know. All right, it's plastic's off. We're opening it up. We got a gatefold here. We got a black and white picture of Bruce in the snow. It says, in his own writing, what does that say? Never a crown of mongrel prices? What the fuck? News a crown of mongrel... We got like this nice little booklet here. Oh, here we got some more lyrics when I take the booklet out. I pulled that bothersome thread, got down on my knees, grabbed my pen and bowed my head, tried to summon all that my heart finds true and send in my letter to you. All right, so we got the lyrics, the letter to you on this nice gatefold. Bruce in the snow, man. It's going to make a nice Christmas card. Bruce in the snow. We got this cool booklet. Wow, nice 12 by 12 booklet, kind of like the Kiss Alive booklet that you got there. We got more pictures of Bruce in the snow in this designer jacket. It's probably like a $2,000 jacket, $4,000 cashmere sweater he's got. Looks like he's probably wearing like a $500 scarf around his neck. Nice little wallet chain here. It looks like it's actually a picture of Bruce and like it's superimposed upon like an old picture where we got like some old carts and some bikes in the background here. And flip it over, we got a picture of the Fender Telecaster leaned up against a Fender amp there, all on a kind of Indian rug, looking cool. All right, let's flip through this booklet here. Oh, nice pictures, man. Nice back of the Telecaster. We got lyrics and pictures. Nice packaging. Oh, a picture of the Castiles here. Letter to You lyrics on some like rice paper. Yeah, wow, fucking awesome. Cool picture of the E Street Band in the studio there. Some engineers. John Landau, I guess that's Ron in Yellow. lyrics here burning up. Janie needs a shooter. Last man standing. Wow. Digging the packaging, man. This fucking booklet is awesome. I guess this is the same booklet you would get with the CD, but it's like a 12 by 12 version. Very nice, very nice. Ghosts. Upside down picture of Bruce here. Dun, dun. Last page of the booklet, we get shots of the band. Here we got Patty, Bruce, Nils, and who's that guy? Charlie Giordano, Derek Talent, Max Weinberg, Stevie, little Steven Van Zandt, Roy Bittan, and we got Jake Clemens, and more pictures of that Fender Telecaster. Awesome. Digging this packaging here. So let's look at the record here. Wow. Nice sleeves on this. Wow, this is a great packaging. I got a pretty good deal on this. $35 for the record. I just noticed that it's up to like $55 if you wanted to buy it today, but so I got to get those pre-orders in. So we got a nice sleeve here. It's got a picture of the Castiles there, Bruce in his turtleneck. On the opposite side, we got like Bruce in the snow again in that $2,000 bomber jacket. Wow. A nice like rice paper sleeve, kind of transparent. Bruce Springsteen, letter to you. Vinyl there, black label. I kind of miss the old red, just basic red Columbia label. I wish they would go back to that. And instead, they never really do that. They'd go do these kind of fancy kind of labels. Pulling out disc two here. Let's check out disc two. Another sort of semi-transparent sleeve here. Dug deep in my soul and signed my name true and send it in my letter to you. And yeah, like I said, it's a three-sided vinyl. So side D is actually this kind of nice etching of Bruce in the wilderness. Looks like he's walking away from us or walking towards us. All right, so I'm digging the packaging on this. So far, so good. Lots of nice pictures by Danny Clinch of Bruce in that those designer jackets. And on the inside of the actual sleeve, the slot where you drop the records, there's like it's like printed too. So that's kind of neat. All right, so this is what we've all been waiting for. Let's put this on the turntable. Let's kick it off. Side A, I'm going to give you guys my first impression. I've heard Letter to You. I've heard Ghosts. I have no idea about the other songs, so let's see how this is. First impressions here. Dropping the needle on side A. The song is 1 Minute You're Here.
Big black train coming down the track. Blow your whistle long and long. 1 minute you're here, next minute you're gone. I lay my penny down on the rails. The song of wind sings its last song. 1 minute you're here, next minute you're gone.
All right, so 1 minute you're here. The album opens up kind of soft, acoustic guitar. Got some synth in there. Got a little Roy piano. It's almost got like a, reminded me of a Tunnel of Love, kind of Human Touch vibe. Kind of, what's that song, With Every Wish, the one where he's going fishing or whatever. It's kind of got that vibe to it. So almost, even though this is heralded as an E Street Band record, I'm not hearing the E Street Band coming crashing in off the top of this first song, right? Like, I know what's going to happen later, but it's kind of nice. The record kind of starts off nice, soft here, kind of setting up some of the themes for the album, dealing with, you know, loss of relationships, immortality, people leaving your life kind of thing. Like, this could be about death, like someone that you miss who died, but it could also be about a failed relationship, right? Like, I'm at the age where I've had more ex-girlfriends than people who have died in my life, right? I don't know if that's preferable, but when I hear a song like this, I can think of an ex-girlfriend or someone who I had feelings for, and all of a sudden it's gone, right? That sort of part of your life is just kind of gone. So, yeah, nice soft vocal by Bruce on this. Under 3 minutes. Well, I got nothing bad to say about this song, right? You know, starts the record off in a different way than I thought. I thought the record would kick off kind of with a big E Street Band, Letter to You off the top, but it's kind of nice that it comes in with this 1 minute You're Here. So, yeah, first impression on that song. So let's continue. After 1 minute You're Here, we got the title track, Letter to You.
Thank you.
tried to summon all that my heart finds true and send it in my letter to you.
Okay, now Letter to You, obviously I've heard that song. If you've heard the last Tramps Like Us episode, I did a little preview of that song as well as Ghosts, the songs that were released as singles. Nice song coming after that slower, softer 1 minute you're here. We got a longer intro on this, first thing noticeable than the single edit, so he hits that intro a couple more times. Bruce singing to his audience on this song, whether it be the fans, a friend, a lover, anyone really, the listener, whoever's listening to this song, he's singing to you. You can put yourself in the role of the addressee, I guess, in this song kind of thing, right? You know, I love the drums on this, kind of got a Land of Hope and Dreams groove on this, and then we have that switch to the minor chord and the chorus. Piano does those kind of half notes, Roy on the piano, and the half notes, ding, 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 ding. I like that sort of thing going on over the melody, over the top of that minor chord and the chorus there. And like I said with this first song, we didn't really get an E Street Band sound on that first song, 1 minute you're here, but on this one, definitely, this is the E Street Band for sure, coming in strong, right? We get a longer breakdown as well, too, after that guitar solo where he's going into kind of that Duane Eddy kind of guitar solo, down, 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 on the low strings with the reverb. And you got organ in the kind of cracks, call and answer there on the solo. I like that. Three verses and a chorus, repeat the chorus a few times, right? You get that cool, it's a longer breakdown, so that's more space for the parts to breathe, kind of for the song to sit, right? So I dig that. False ending, then the band kicks in when we get like a longer outro than we heard on the single version. So this is a good one, Letter to You. Man, I gotta hear this song live. Can't wait. All right, so next up, track three, we're gonna go to Burning Train. Burning Train, that was a rocker, that was a pretty good one. We got organ and guitar coming in off the top, Max with a floor-to-the-floor bass drum groove, and he goes into a bit of a train groove, not a essential, not a, like a country train groove, but this is like a one and a two and a three and a four, right, that kind of train groove on this. Obviously you gotta have a train groove. If you got train in the title of your song, you gotta sort of emulate some sort of a train groove in the song, right? That's kind of like rock and roll 101. You get like a double track vocal by Bruce on this. Sounds cool. I love that line, something shining in the light neath your breast. Ooh, visual imagery there. I can see that breast with light shining down on it. I like that one line, "Darling, I'm blessing your blood, marked by Cain." Is that like a reference to Adam raised to Cain? You know, kind of a little throwback there. And I guess this song is about riding with a lover, or like a girl, and going on her wild ride, even though she might not be good for this guy. He's just going to jump on her burning train and go down in flames with her, because that's the way to go. Right? That's the cool rock and roll ride. And we get an awesome Max kind of snare roll to cue the ending of the song. So awesome. Yeah, so that's a pretty good one. All right, so let's go to the last song on side A. Song 4 on the Letter to You album is Janie Needs a Shooter. That one's pretty good, man. Janie Needs a Shooter. Now, that's an older song written in the early 70s. There's a few songs on this record, I think three, that were written around the early 70s. And he just, you know, thought it would be cool to hear what it would sound like 50 years later, right? These songs that he wrote as a 20-year-old, now he's going to record them as a 70-year-old with his band, right? So I'd heard this one before. There's versions, live versions of this out there. And I think Warren Zevon did a cover of this in the late 70s. We actually featured it on one of our Loose Ends episodes with BJ Cramp, where we talk about like outtakes and stuff like that. This is a great song. So yeah, I was a little familiar with this one. It's got that early 70s sound, that sort of like, it's very loose, hard rock sound in the way he was writing there in the early 70s with those, you know, kind of things. Good production on this so far through this whole album. Because it was recorded live off the floor, very little overdubs on this and stuff like that. It's got that sort of sound to it. It's not too overproduced, which I found, you know, some of the previous Ron and Yellow productions are like a little too much overproduced. So it sounds really good. This could be his best production with Ron and Yellow. Band sounds great. It's got that slow eighth note rock groove on this, right? And we hear little Steven on the background vocals. Sounds awesome on the chorus. I was singing along with him. Janie needs a shooter now. A shooter like me on her side. Oh, yeah. Good song to sing along to. Singing with the band, the power of the E Street Band on this one. It just sounds like a great band, and you hear them and you're just like, man, it must be so fun to stand and be Bruce Springsteen, to stand in front of this band and have them at your fingertips, right, playing these songs for you. I love it. And I guess the song's about a girl, this girl Janie, and she's got all these guys that ain't worth a fuck, right? She's and she needs a shooter. She needs a guy that can you know, keep up with her, that's gonna be right for her style, you know. So cool song. It's a long one. We got a harmonica solo with the guitar there in the middle. I don't know if the harmonica was overdubbed and Bruce played the guitar solo while the harmonica's going on, or was Steve playing guitar and Bruce was doing it live in the studio. We'll have to know. I haven't seen that Letter to You video yet, so maybe after I do this first listen to the record, I'll give you a first viewing of the Letter to You documentary and give you my thoughts on that after this. All right, so that's the end of side A. Now we're going to side B, flipping the record. It's one of these stupid four songs per side records. At least it's not three. That's the worst. Three songs per side? Come on, man. So we're going to side B, and side B opens up with Last Man Standing.
Thank you.
Faded pictures in an old scrapbook. Faded pictures that somebody took when you were hard and young and proud. Backed against the wall, running raw and loud. Snakeskin vest and a sharkskin suit. Cuban heels on your boots. Kicking the band and side by side. You take the crowd on their mystery ride. And the fireman's ball Friday night at the Union Hall. Black leather clubs all along Route 9. You count the names of the missing as you count off time. Rock of Ages, lift me somehow.
Last Man Standing, that's a pretty good one. You get some acoustic guitar with the riff off the top. And sort of a mid-tempo kind of rock groove. More kind of Duane Eddy guitar. He's really in the kind of the Fender Telecaster playing down on those low end of the neck. A little reverb on there sounds great. We get the first appearance of sax on the album. That familiar sound of the tenor saxophone with a Bruce Springsteen song played by Jake Clemens. Of course, nephew of the late, great Clarence Clemens, right? And he plays like a lick. Kind of in between, I think after a couple of choruses there, just a lick, not really a solo. He gets like a bit of a sax thing on the outro, which is more of a solo thing, but you know, just a little, just in there a little bit, just to give you that kind of remembrance. Oh, there's that sound, right? There's that E Street Band sax sound, right? And also the glockenspiel is in there, that familiar sound, that familiar E Street Band sound, right? I guess this song is about his first band, the Castiles, right? There's a few photos in the liner notes of the Castiles, and you know, the story goes on that he's the last living member of that band. There's five guys in the band, and they've all passed. And, you know, lines about snakeskin vests and sharkskin suits and, you know, Cuban heels on your boots. Like that last verse, there's a bit of a breakdown there. He's like, lights come up at the Legion Hall. Pool cues go back up on the wall. You pack your guitar and have one last beer with just the ringing in your ears. Like, as a musician myself, I can't tell you how many times it's like the end of the night and you've played your last show and you're packing up all your gear and you have one last beer and your ears are ringing because it's been so loud. And, you know, the people are gone and the lights come up and you see all the garbage on the floor and everything like that. So, you know, I can vividly see that when he's singing this song, right? So, pretty cool. I like this song a lot. I like that that line, "The Last Man Standing." I'm the last man standing now, right? Very cool. I like that song. I like that line a lot. And we get some more Max snare to finish it off. Digga digga choo, digga digga choo. Right, you got to think the band is recording these live, right? In the process of them learning the songs and then going in there and just kind of taking a crack at it. So it's these parts aren't really labored over. So you hear some of these familiar licks that they would play live, you know, to kind of cue endings and stuff like that. So that's what we get here. So yeah, I dig it, man. Last Man Standing. So let's go on to the second song on side B, which is "The Power of Prayer."
Standing there, baby, that's the power of prayer.
another good song, The Power of Prayer. So far, I got nothing really bad to say about any of these songs. There's some really good stuff on this. And like I said, this is a first impression listen, so, you know, I can't wait to kind of sit with some of these songs and live with them for, you know, months and years and just see how they kind of fit within his catalog. I think these are going to be some great songs that are going to really hold up, right? We get a nice piano intro by Roy on this one. You know, with the lyric book on this, like I said, it's a pretty nice 12 by 12 thick, like, I don't know, 10-page booklet kind of thing. But the way they've done it with the lyrics is they've switched perspective on some of these lyrics, so you got to flip the book upside down to the side, and it's kind of awkward, so that's kind of stupid. Like, when you have, like, a 4 by 4 CD booklet, I'm sure it's fine, but when you're holding this 12 by 24, like, thing held up and you're trying to read this little corner, it's kind of stupid. So, you know, I'm starting to get a little bit pissed off at the packaging on this, plus all these pictures of Bruce, like, posing in the snow. Like, do we really need 8 photos of Bruce in his GQ clothing, like, posing out in New York? Like, maybe, like, a couple of photos, but it seems like every page I turn on this, I get, like, a picture of Bruce in the snow looking at me, and like he's modeling some clothes for Vogue or something like that. Anyway, I guess this song's about praying for good times, right? Like, praying for those precious, important moments, right? I'm holding hearts, and I'll play the pair. I love that line in that song. That's a pretty cool one. I'm going all in because I don't care. That's some cool lines in this song. I dig this one. There's a nice breakdown verse. And again, back to the lyrics. Last call, the bouncer shuts the door. This magic moment drifts across the floor. Write that song. This magic moment. Nice little shout out there. And then we have another line. As Benny King's voice fills the air, baby, that's the power of prayer. But I don't know who this Benny King is. B-E-N-N-Y King? That's how they've spelled it in the lyric book. But the only Benny King I know is B-E-N-E period King. E is the middle name. It's like Mr. T, right? Mr. is the first name. The period is the middle name. And T is the last name. E is the middle name. It's not Benny. It's Ben E King, right? So, you know, maybe a little nitpicking on that one. But besides that, I like this one, man. This is Bruce and the E Street Band sound on this record, on this song too, right? Cool sax licks on this and a bit of a solo thing. So I don't think they're sax solos. Like, they're like solo breaks kind of thing. But I don't think, like, Jake is improvising any of these notes, right? It seems like they're all kind of laid out there and orchestrated, and Bruce must be telling him kind of what to play. And it pays off because it works well. So let's go on to the third song on side B. Now, this one, I'm very intrigued by this title. This sounds cool. House of a Thousand Guitars.
The blood moon shines across the veil. Bells ring out through churches and jails. I tally my wounds and count the scars. Here in the house of a thousand guitars, the criminal clown has stolen the throne. He steals what he can never own. May the truth ring out from every small town bar. We'll light up the house of a thousand guitars. Well, it's all right, yeah, it's all right. Meet me, darling, come Saturday night. All good souls from near and far. We'll meet in the house of a thousand guitars.
Okay, House of a Thousand Guitars. Wasn't really expecting that. I was expecting this one to kind of be a rocker, but it's kind of a more of a kind of melancholy, kind of laid back, kind of mellow thing. The song starts with a piano intro, same as Power of Prayer, kind of back-to-back piano intros there. Bruce comes in singing the melody with the piano. You know, Roy's kind of outlining the melody on the piano there as he's playing. And I guess this song is about worshiping the power of music, right? This is rock and roll religion. That's my religion, right? I have rock and roll tattooed across my belly, right? It's not the house of God, it's the house of a thousand guitars, right? Rock and roll is our religion. So I can get behind the lyrics on this one, but like I said, I thought it'd be a rocker, but it's more of a... I don't know. It's more of a... I don't know how to explain this one. It's a cool song, though. It's basically just verse melody, right? It's not really... There's no chorus. There's no bridge. It's basically... pretty much for the whole song. But yeah, I can get behind it. It's kind of cool. There's you get at the end, you get some lies with little Steven, it sounds like, doing the background. Like, that's a E Street Band sound. We love that, right? Yeah, he ends it with a thousand guitars, kind of repeating that phrase over and over. So I'm interested in how I'm going to feel about these songs as I live with them, as I hear them more and more, and some of these melodies kind of stick with me. The way, like, Letter to You and Ghost have, you know, I've heard those, like I said, I've heard those songs when they came out about a month ago. Yeah, pretty good one, House of a Thousand Guitars. And I wonder what the connection is with Willie Nile, because Willie Nile has a song, House of a Thousand Guitars, I think he wrote in the mid-2000s there. Obviously, different songs, but same title, and, you know, Bruce and Willie are friends, so I'd be interested to know from Willie or, you know, what the connection is there. Maybe Bruce just loved that title and decided to write his own House of a Thousand Guitars. Cool tune, though. All right, so let's move on to the last song on side B. This is Rainmaker.
Large crops die beneath the dead sun. We've been praying, but no good comes. Dogs howl in the home stripped bare. We've been worried, but now we're scared. People come for comfort or just to come. Taste the dark, sticky potion, hear the drums. Hands raised to Yahweh to bring the rain down. He comes crawling across the dry fields like a dark shroud. Rainmaker!
Got another song opening up with piano here. Piano intro with some slide guitar. I guess it's got dobro acoustic slide there. That's probably Nils on that, I'm assuming. This song sticks out maybe as being socially or politically conscious with the lyrics more than the other songs. People dealing with hardships, putting their faith in a rainmaker, you know, a liar, a snake oil salesman. I dig his vocals on this one. The vocals are pretty good by Bruce. You know, he's singing great as usual. Max sounds good. You know, I guess I'm repeating myself here, but after first listens, you know, this is what I come up with. The drums sound great, Max sound. I just love Max as a drummer, so it's good to hear him playing good. You know, Bruce sounds great, the band sounds awesome. There's strings on this one, but I looked at the credits. I don't think Susie Tyrell gets a credit on this, but somebody's playing a violin part on this, or strings, or something like that. Is it synths? I don't know, man. It doesn't say that on the musician credits, so I'm wondering about that. But, yeah, cool song, Rainmaker, man. A little faith for hire. The house is on fire, right? I like some of these lyrics. Sometimes folks need to believe in something so bad, so bad, so bad, that they're going to hire a rainmaker. Very timely lyrics. Yeah, it's a shame that we're going to have to wait a while to hear these songs live. It'd be neat if maybe they did something like the band performs the whole album live somewhere and they just kind of stream that. That would be cool, but it's not going to be the same. Because the thing with the E Street Band is they feed off that live audience, right? So... you know, a lot of these songs are going to be great live one day. So let's move on. That's the end of side B. So let's take the record off here and put it back and go on to the next record. Okay, so I was going to cut this part out, but fuck, I am struggling trying to put this fucking record back into the sleeve. What the hell, man? Like, ugh. Can they not make a double album set where you can the sleeves slide back? Like, I have lots of records, and I don't have to struggle with records to put them back in here. Like, I'm not stoned. Well, maybe a little bit, but it shouldn't be an issue, right? Oh, can you hear that? This fucking sleeve does not want to go in. I'm being very gentle. I love my records. I got to take care of them. But this packaging and more pictures of Bruce in his GQ pose. I don't. You know, I like the photos upon first glance, but you know, now as I'm flipping through these, there's maybe like a 3 or 4 too many of these Bruce in the snow shots. I don't know. All right, so let's move on to side 3 of 3. Right, side three here. Sorry, side C. Man, I don't like these three-sided record things. But anyway. Here we go. Side C, this is another older song written in the early 70s, If I Was the Priest.
There's a light on yonder mountain, and it's calling me to shine. There's a girl over by the water fountain, and she's asking to be mine. And Jesus is standing in a doorway in a buckskin jacket, boots and spurs so fine. Says we need your son tonight up in Dodge City, 'cause there's just too many outlaws trying to work the same line.
Alright, this is a good one. Sounds like, you know, set early 70s Bruce Springsteen. It starts with this line, "There's a light on yonder mountain." Kind of reminds me of, what's that Bee Gees song, To Love Somebody? "There's a light, a certain kind of light." Alright, that kind of reminds me of that off the top. Remember, he wrote this melody and sang it in his early 20s, right? So here he is 50 years later, and he's belting this one out. Great singing. This could be the best vocal on the record so far I've heard. I like this one a lot. Lots of lyrics on this one. 4 verses, a bunch of choruses. This is back when Bruce was writing a lot of wordy things. You know, you hear a lot of inner line rhymes in this one. There's that line about the Holy Ghost is the host with the most, right? That sort of inner line rhyme. I love those. I like that chorus line. If Jesus was a sheriff and I was the priest, if my lady was an heiress and my mama was a thief. That's cool. Good melody on the chorus there. Love the production. This whole album sounds really good. Very raw in the studio. That's what I love, right? I love that sort of river sound, that sort of darkness on the edge of town production style. I wish all of his 21st century records sounded as good as this. Nice breakdown part. There's a kind of goes out of time, like the time just stops. And then Max comes in with kind of a roll on the toms to bring the band back in. A couple of choruses out. We got some great backgrounds by Steven Van Zandt. And on the outro, which it's like total E Street Band just rocking out on the outro on this, we get an awesome Steven Van Zandt guitar solo. Right? I'm digging this album because we hear a lot more Steven Van Zandt guitar on a Bruce Springsteen album than we've heard before. Usually Bruce takes all the solos in the studio, right? But like I said, because they're recording this live, it's just, you know, a live band sound, and Steve would take solos, and Steve sounds really good. Unfortunately, it fades too soon. You know, it's a 7-minute song. It'd be cool to have a 9-minute song with a couple more minutes of Steven soloing on the outro there. But that's a good one, If I Was the Priest. All right, so we're continuing with the second song on side C, which was, I guess this will be song 10 in total. This is the second single, technically, I guess, came out maybe a week or so after Letter to You. This is Ghosts.
Coming from the mystic fire.
I was pleased that this is a longer version than the single or the radio edit, the single edit that we've heard. The outro is a bit longer on this one. But you get obviously a nice drum intro by Max on this. Solo vocal brings the band in. I hear the sound of your guitar. Right? The band comes in so good. Love that pre-chorus into the chorus where he's like, it's your ghost moving through the night, spirit filled with light, kind of builds at that part, right? And then we hit the chorus, I'm alive, I feel the blood shivering my bones, right? Just that sort of pre-chorus contrast to the chorus. I love that part. What else? Steve Van Zandt background vocals again. I love that you can just hear Steven singing on this record, which you don't get in some of the previous Bruce Springsteen albums, or else it was just mixed so you couldn't hear it, or it was buried in the mix or whatever. I just love it. I love the band vibe on this album and the sound. It's very different than, you know, the solo records that he puts out, you know. There's that one line about boots and spurs. He's it's about ghosts, and I guess he's singing about old friends, old lovers, old bandmates, right? Specifically bandmates. He's thinking about this old buckskin jacket he hangs on this door. And these images and these visions and these feelings of kind of old friends, old band members. The boots and the spurs he used to ride click down the hall but never arrive. So he's kind of hearing the ghost footsteps of the heels, the spurs on this guy's boots, but you know they never arrive because he's just a ghost, right? It's just your ghost moving through the night. It's awesome, man. It's so cool. This at a great breakdown. Max comes in with the floor tom. We get some hand claps. We get some sax. We get some more of those kind of lies in there, right? That's so great, ghosts. Man, we got to hear this one live. It sucks that we're not going to get an E Street Band tour anytime in the near future, man. We just got to hear these songs live. All right, so let's move on. I love that one. So let's move on from Ghosts. This is the second last song on the record. This is Song for Orphans. Another early 70s written song, right? You can tell a lot of lyrics in this one, right? A lot of words. You get that harmonica and slide guitar off the top, which immediately gives me a Bob Dylan vibe. Obviously, Bruce was heralded as the next Bob Dylan there in the early 70s when he was writing a lot of stuff like this, right? You know, I get that vibe. I hear a little of My Back Pages in the verse, right? That Dylan song. A little bit of that melody is in there. You got some nice slide work by Nils on this song, right? Harmonica solo again shows up in the solo for a solo section in the middle there. Some slide and some piano licks underneath. Yeah, like I said, this is first impression, first listen, so I'm not really analyzing these lyrics, but what I kind of picked up is I guess it's about restless youth deciding where to focus their faith, kind of taking control with a stronger arm, right? Like the Confederacy is in their name now, so now they're in charge. So they're going to have to wield this strong arm to make decisions. I don't know if I'm, if I'm analyzing that correct. We'll see. We'll see after a few more listens if I'm getting the message correct. But yeah, cool song. 6 minutes. It's got that E Street Band vibe, right? Keep saying that. Good production. Yeah, cool song, man. So we're almost coming to the close of this album, and I'm really digging it. a lot of good things to say about this album after only a first listen. So let's close the album with the last song on side C, I'll See You in My Dreams.
The road is long and seeming without end. The days go on. I remember you, my friend. And though you're gone, in my heart's been emptied, it seems. I'll see you in my dreams. I got the old guitar here by the bed. All your favorite records and all the books.
Dreams. I was expecting a ballad, but what we get is some sort of medium tempo rock kind of thing. Very good bookend to this record, the way the album opens with 1 minute You're Here and closes with I'll See You in My Dreams. See You in My Dreams kind of continues or wraps up that 1 minute You're Here feeling, where he's saying he's you know, coming to terms with people that have left his life, but he'll still remember them. They're still part of his life. If not in a physical form, because he sees them in their dreams kind of thing, right? I can relate to that. You know, I still visit with people in my dreams who've left me, whether they've died or whether they've just, you know, moved on, relationships that have ended, ex-girlfriends. Sometimes, like, an ex-girlfriend was popping in my head in a dream. It happened the other night, and it kind of freaked me out, or a relative, or who's passed on, or something like that, right? And it's very vivid, so, you know, I get a lot of these lyrics in this song. It's pretty cool. Like, even though a lot of his songs on this album, you can interpret them as being, you know, a lost lover, a lost friend, someone who has died, a band member. But he's kind of focusing on kind of the band members who have left him. Obviously, The Last Man Standing and both the Castiles, I'll See You in My Dreams. Obviously, Danny and Clarence are missing on this album because it's such an E Street Band album, and those two big parts of the sound are there, but in other forms of, you know, Jake Clemens and Charlie Giordano. So I can see how this song could be about Danny and Clarence kind of showing up in his dreams and still being a part of his life and a part of this album in some way, which is kind of sweet, you know. That guitar solo, that's definitely Bruce on there for sure, right? Awesome guitar solo. Then we split and we get a little organ on the end of that and, you know, some nice Max fills at the end. He does a kind of, what's that line? Like Ties That Bind, he does a fill in there, something like that. You can hear that at the end. So there's all these little elements of, you know, E Street Band sounds that we've heard in previous records and that we hear on the live stage that are part of this album, which, you know, makes it feel really, really nice. I mean, it makes it feel really like it's something we know, right? It's very familiar kind of thing, right? So that's how the album ends. I dig it. Yeah, first listen, man. That's my first impression. What do I got to say? As far as a standout song, nothing really jumped out at me, but there's a few that I loved. Like, obviously, Ghosts is great. Burning Train was awesome. Last Man Standing. I loved If I Was the Priest. House of a Thousand Guitars is cool. You know, and I'm really interested to see how I feel about this album in a month from now, 6 months from now, you know, 6 years from now, after I've lived with the album and have digested these songs and really listened to them more closely and see if my opinions have changed for the better or the worse, right? Like I said, way too many pictures of Bruce in his expensive clothing in the snow posing for GQ. You know, other than that, and the struggle I have putting the discs back in there, And, you know, come on, man. Like, three sides. Like, that's the other thing. Record might be a bit too long, right? 60 minutes. Like, can we go back to, like, a solid 40-minute, 45-minute record? Like, that's all you need, right? If we had dropped two or three songs off this, cut it down to 9 or 10 songs, put it on one disc, right? So it's none of this three-sided bullshit, four songs per side. Give me one record with, like, 5 songs per side, maybe 5 and 6. Like, look at Born in the USA. That had 6 songs per side, right? Imagine if he had stretched Born in the USA out over 3 sides and a double album. Like, it would have thrown all of the, I don't know, it just would have, it's just a weird thing. It kind of throws some of the momentum off, too, having side A, side B, side C, all this bullshit, right? I like side 1, side 2. So you can have that opening song of side 1. You can have that last song of side 1. You can have that opening song of side 2. You can have that last song on side 2. So what I would kind of suggest is maybe, like, the three older songs, Janie Needs a Shooter, If I Was the Priest, and Song for Orphans, those songs are all, like, 7 minutes long each. So if we cut those 3 songs off, that's 21 minutes, 20 minutes, say. So that brings the album down to about 40 minutes, right? 9 songs, we could have definitely fit that on one LP, 5 songs on one side, 4 songs on the other, and then how about we release an EP? You know, he's been like, okay, we also recorded, while we were recording Letter to You album, we also tried 3 older songs. So we're going to put out this extra EP called If I Was the Priest or whatever, right? And a 3-song EP. People would buy that. Are you kidding me? Like, that would be fucking awesome if you had this thing. But I don't know. I guess it works for a CD when you got 12 songs and a 60-minute CD. But when you're spreading it over 3 sides of a vinyl set, I don't know. It's a little weak. It's a little weak, but... But other than that, I don't want to get negative on this. This is a great record. I'm really excited it came out. Really happy to have it and now be able to listen to it over the next few months. And it's a recommend, obviously. I hope people dig it and let me know what you thought of it. All right, Letter to You. Now it's time to check out that documentary. Are you wondering what I think of the Apple TV documentary, Letter to You?
All right, what can I say? The greatest thrill of my life is standing behind that microphone with you guys behind me. Let's do it.
I'm in the middle of a 45-year conversation with these men and women I'm surrounded by.
Faded pictures in an old scrapbook.
I started playing the guitar because I was looking for someone to correspond with. And after all this time, I still feel that need to talk to you.
All right, East Readers, let's do this thing.
I hear the sound of your guitar.
Our years of playing together have created an efficiency in the studio.
From the mystic fire.
Ideas tumble around the room. Confusion often reigns.
You want me to play it up higher?
No, don't play it up higher. Okay. Just don't play so low.
And then suddenly...
Let's get the claps.
Dynamite.
Perfect.
I took all the sunshine and rain.
Age brings perspective.
All my happiness and all my pain.
And after all these years,
the dark evening stars and the morning sky of blue.
My friends, wherever you are.
And I sent it in my letter to you.
You're the reason we're here.
I sent it in my letter to you.
All right, Letter to You, documentary directed by Tom Zimney. It's about 90 minutes. I just watched it. Now, this is an exclusive distribution to Apple TV. I'm kind of not into that, you know. Same with the Springsteen on Broadway thing, how he only released that to Netflix. I wasn't happy with that. At least with Western Stars, that film, that was cool because it came out in the theater and then on Blu-ray, just like, you know, a normal film would be. Now, this Apple TV thing, it's a horrible platform, man. Like, there's nothing on there. There was like 10 shows. There's like navigating issues. It's hard to find out like what's actually on this channel. You got to scroll down and these pictures are big and stupid. And there's this shot of Oprah Winfrey giving me this smile that keeps popping up. Ugh. Like, there's this Beastie Boys story thing on there. Like, I wanted to watch that, and I tried watching that, and it kept freezing. And, you know, I've watched it on my phone, and it's fine. And, like, all my other kind of streaming things like Netflix and YouTube, that all works fine. And then Apple TV just gives me a problem. Just nothing but problems. So, I don't know. Like, I hope this thing comes out on DVD, Blu-ray eventually. Like, it's got to be released that way. Like, it can't live on this Apple TV thing forever. Maybe they're just... it's a deal that they got to put the record out. I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's the way things are going these days, the way they release things. It's not the same. I don't like it. I need to have a physical copy of this fucking thing, right? Remember the old days when you'd buy a record and they would include like a little bonus deluxe edition for a couple extra bucks, and they would send you this, you know, DVD with the package, and you could, you know, see this stuff. Like, that's what they have. That's what they got to do, man. Like, but anyway, let's not get hung up on the kind of Apple TV bullshit, and let's just talk about the actual documentary, which I really enjoyed, right? So overall, it's really good. You know, I dig Tom Zimney's direction. He did the Springsteen on Broadway thing, and that one was directed really well, and Western Stars was a great film he put out too. I love that he did a documentary on Elvis Presley. I'm a big Elvis Presley fan, and he did a documentary called The Searcher, which was just incredible, probably the best documentary ever put together on Elvis Presley. So, you know, big fan of Tom Zimney for that reason. You know, this film's kind of got a winter vibe to it. Same with the album, right? Like all these depictions of in the album artwork of Bruce and the jacket and the snow. And then you watch this movie and it's all filmed in black and white, right? And there's these winter scenes and it's snowing in New Jersey in November. And you get these overhead helicopter shots, like looking over a snowy forest while Bruce is talking. And there's like some score in the background. So this kind of stuff, right? And one thing about the doc is I wish it would have gone more in-depth on the creative process. You know, maybe more thoughts from the band, you know, more details on the songwriting process from Bruce, some arrangement things, like maybe show more of the mistakes, the false starts and stuff like that. Like, the stuff's in there. It's just not very much, right? It's not like, I compare it to Blood Brothers. I really love that documentary that was made capturing E Street Band reuniting in 95. To record a few new songs for the Greatest Hits album, right? Like, I love that because there's a lot of conversation with the band about getting back together with Bruce and their feelings and working on these new songs and stuff like that. And there's a little bit on this, but it's just not as much, right? I guess it's the director's vision, but whatever. I would have liked to have seen more of that stuff. This documentary starts out that way, but it seems to turn into like this just a live performance in the studio video rather than a behind the scenes thing. You know, more process explanation from the Bruce and the band would be nice for me, you know. Some moments that I quite enjoyed is, you know, there's some great voiceovers from Bruce throughout, like similar to the vignettes in Western Stars, right? It opens with Bruce giving us his introduction to the film, the album, explaining his need to and desire to create and connect with his audience still, right?
I'm in the middle of a 45-year conversation with these men and women I'm surrounded by, and with some of you. Now, with some of you, I suppose we've only recently started speaking. But either way, I've tried to make that conversation essential, fun, and entertaining. I started playing the guitar because I was looking for someone to speak to and correspond with. I guess that worked out better than my wildest dreams. All I know is after all this time, I still feel that burning need to communicate. It's there when I wake every morning. It walks alongside of me throughout the day. And it's there when I go to sleep each night. Over the past 50 years, it's never once ceased. Owing to what I don't really know. Is it loneliness, hunger, ego, ambition, desire, a need to be felt and heard, recognized, all of the above? All I know is it is one of the most consistent impulses in my life, as reliable as the rhythmic beating of my own heart is my need to talk to you.
Yeah, I dig the scene of Bruce teaching the songs to the band. I wish there was so much more of that. I love that stuff where he's got the song written and he's singing it and playing guitar, and the band are kind of all huddled around him taking notes. They have like pads of paper and they're writing down arrangement notes and number charts. Like, number charts would be if you're in the key of G and you're playing like a G, C, D chord progression, that would be like 1, 4, 5. That's the numbers of the chords in the key that you're in, right? So they're like one chord, four chord, two chord, five chord here, flat five, all this kind of stuff, right? So as Bruce is kind of running the song down for them on acoustic guitar, they're all kind of making notes and writing stuff down. That's I loved seeing that stuff because I've done that in studios, right, and with working with bands. So it's cool to see. Like, they're just a band like everybody else, right? They learn songs just like we do.
The end of it. 8 bars of one, right?
Yes.
Then 2 bars of six,
yes.
2 bars of one, 2 bars of four.
Beneath the crowd of mongrel trees, I pulled that bog with some thread. Got down on my knees, grabbed my pen and bowed my head. Tried to summon all my heart. Finds true and send it in my letter to you.
All right, try it. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. No foot yet. I think we're going too long there, Roy. I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, one chord. Roy, you're going to the E minor too soon.
That's the breakdown.
No,
Kevin.
Not.
Well, yeah, there's eight bars of one.
The E Street Band is a finely tuned instrument of great flexibility and power.
1, 2, 3, 1 chord.
They can float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Our years of playing together have created a shorthand and an efficiency in the studio comparable to that of a finely tuned racing engine.
Foot.
We are a unit, 45 years in the making, decades in the refining, and we bring that power to bear when we engage with you.
Neath the crown of mongrel trees, I pulled that by the sun thread.
Wait. The intro progression is only the intro progression. It never happens again. Then you got to stick with the song.
It's so great when the E Street Band gets it together finally, and nice to have this footage, right? You know, this album was so special in the way it was created, you know, live, everybody recording at the same time, and Bruce not really having set arrangements for the song and really working with the band that way. So it's great to have this stuff captured. Like, this is important stuff. This is a historical document of an amazing moment in rock and roll, right? You know, there's a cool moment where Bruce introduces the band by name. I love that part.
These are my friends, the men and women I work with. Steve Van Zandt, Max Weinberg, Roy Bittan, Gary Talent, Patty Scalfa, Nils Lofgren, Charlie Giordano, Susie Tyrell, Jake Clemens, and there are two members in absentia, Danny Federici and Clarence Clemens. This is the E Street Band.
One thing about the doc that's cool is after listening to the album, there's raw mixes of these tunes in the documentary, right? So it's different mixes, and it doesn't have that sort of fine polish that the album has. Now, the album is a great-sounding album. The production is really good, and it doesn't sound very shiny and overproduced like some of his previous work with Ron and Yellow does. But even in this one, it's a raw mix. Like, either like the drums sound louder, and I just love those little nuances. Cool shots of Bruce Springsteen playing Gretsch guitars, overdubbing some of those like low Duane Eddy kind of guitar solos that he does a few times on this album. There's he's playing like a Gretsch duo jet, like a Les Paul style solid body Gretsch guitar. Then he's got the big hollow body, one of those like sort of faded green, like that sort of mint green old Gretsch guitar. Love it, awesome, sounds so great. When Tom Zimini is showing the band kind of laying the song down, and he's panning back and forth between Max, Steve, Bruce, Patty singing, you know, Nils on guitar, Charlie Giordano on the organ. Like, the edits are way too quick, right? It starts getting into this kind of MTV music video kind of edit kind of thing, and that's, I didn't like that at all. Like, just stick on a member for a moment. Like, let's watch Roy take a piano take. Like, can you give me 45 seconds just on Roy? Like, that's the stuff I want to see, right? Stick on each member of the band more instead of these quick cuts, you know? There's a cool part where Bruce's cousin Frank is hanging out, right? And Bruce says that, you know, Frank taught Bruce his first guitar chords, right? And they start talking about their first Kent guitar and the silver tones, right? It's really awesome. There's nice little bits of Bruce talking about his first band, the Castiles, right? George Thies, who was, you know, he died, I guess, summer 2019, and leaving Bruce as the last member of his first band, the Castiles, which, you know, kind of spurred on some of the songs on this album and, you know, the writing that he would go through. You know, there's a lot of cool old photos of him with a band back in the 60s, right? And Bruce is, like, meditating on his old band, you know, his lost bandmates, inspiring the songs that, on this album. You know, it's moving when he kind of names his old bandmates that way, like his brothers in arms, right?
With George's death, I was the last living member of the mighty Castiles. The last living member. I thought about it for a long time, and those meditations ended up being the songs I've written for Letter to You. Music just comes sometimes, and only sometimes this is the way it happens. This music, these songs, reminded me of the debt that I still owed my freehold brothers in arms. So this goes out as a deep and heartfelt thank you to Diana and George Thies, Art Haynes, Frank Marzioti, Kurt Floor, Paul Popkin, Bob Alfano, and Vinnie Maniello, my friends, bandmates, and fellow students in my first and greatest school of rock, the Castiles. This is Last Man Standing. Faded pictures in an old scrapbook. Faded pictures that somebody took when you were hard and young and proud. Backed against the wall, running raw and wild. Snakeskin vest and a sharkskin suit. Cuban heels on your boots. Kicking the band and side by side. You take the crowd on the mystery ride.
Lots of drinking in this documentary, right? I guess that was the part of the recording process, right? It seems like after they would get a good take or a song down, they would all take a shot of tequila and all stand around, right? So that's pretty cool. I think there's like three or four clips of them actually having cheers and drinking shots. It's like in this movie, you can kind of drink a shot along with the E Street Band. You'd probably be pretty drunk by the end of this movie, like 90 minutes into it, right? It was a cool moment. I saw Bruce in the studio and he's playing guitar and you can see he's got like an armpit tear in his t-shirt, right? Like that happens to me too. Like I have some of these t-shirts and they always rip in the armpits. I don't know if it's because my arms are so big, right? Like my muscles are so like bulging that they're just ripping these armpits out of t-shirts. But I do have some favorite t-shirts and I'm like, oh man, is it time to throw this one out? Maybe that's the same thing with Bruce, right? He's got some of his favorite t-shirts. He's like, ah, it's just an armpit tear. Bruce is a regular guy, not wearing his, $2,000 bomber jacket during the recording sessions, at least only for the photo sessions. It needs more E Street Band comments. It seems to be all Bruce Springsteen talking over this thing, and I know he's the focal point and he's the star, but you know, I want to hear what Max has to say about all this stuff. You know, it is great to have all these moments captured. You know, they really got something special recording this album, I think, so quickly. You know, the recording 12 songs in 4 days and you know, on the fifth day we listen kind of thing, right?
What a group sound we got going here on this stuff. Sounds great.
Thank you.
Like we never left.
But we left just to get better. Then we came back. Professor, do what you were born to do. Play the Glockenspiel. Play that Glockenspiel, Roy.
I will, as soon as I get some headphones.
In the spirit of Dan Federici, please. Dan Federici. Ghost is haunting us.
I noticed Bruce was using earbuds in the studio rather than like the big headphones, like the cans, right? Like the big earmuffs that kind of cover your entire ears. Bruce seems to be using earbuds in the studio. Never seen that. They must be high quality earbuds. The cool moment, they show the Stephen Van Zandt solo that he does, and If I Were the Priest, the end there, where Stephen kind of says it was just kind of impromptu and he kind of just went into this solo. There's shots captured of Bruce and Steve making faces back and forth as Steve starts soloing, which is really cool, right? I always love watching that band on stage, and when someone's taking a solo and Bruce is getting into it and they're, you know, they're feeling the groove back and forth. Love that shit. Now, there's good moments of like Steven Van Zandt, Max, and Bruce going over the drum parts, and, you know, I love that stuff, you know, showing the band, putting the arrangements together, you know, trial and error, making mistakes, let's try this, let's try that. You know, I love that stuff. It's a different process than the live show, right? Live is the best with a band playing live in front of an audience, but, you know, recording music is also something really cool, and it's a different creative process, and I've been fortunate to be able to do that in the studios, and, you know, I just love that part of making music as well. You know, the collective creativity reigning supreme. You know, Bruce looking to the band for help. Like, they have this part where Steven's kind of laying down ghosts, I think, and he's they're trying to get the arrangement right, and they're calling sections like they call like A section a verse, B section is the ghosts, C is the chorus, right? So it goes ABC, ABC, solo, ABC kind of thing, right? Laying out the arrangements, that stuff's cool. You know, A is the verse, B is the ghosts, C is the chorus.
I hear the sound of your guitar ringing in from the wind mystic far. Stone in the grave. You can go from ghosts right to the break. Then the buildup.
The drum beat buildup.
Yep. Yeah.
You're leaving 16 bars of chorus to the drum beat buildup.
So it goes A,
B, C, A, B, to verse.
A, B.
B is the ghost.
C.
C is the chorus. The chorus.
Yes. And again.
A is the verse. B is the ghost. Chorus. C is the chorus.
We still have to stop before the third verse.
But that breakdown
is time. No, stop before
the third verse. Breakdown
third verse is a section.
The line alone. That's when the stop at the end.
There's still a third verse. There's still a third verse of those stops.
Anybody wonders where the stop is, watch me. I'll give you a cue. All right? Otherwise, don't stop.
What's the jacket you always wore?
Good time there. There, Tom. Yeah, so that was great to be here. Oh, that's right.
Savage.
I think I'm for the first time.
Let's get the claps and get the la-da-das.
I hear the sound of your guitar.
I love all that stuff. Put hand claps in there, background vocals. There's some rare photos of Bruce in here. There's a couple childhood photos. I've never seen a Bruce when he was a little kid. That was kind of neat to see. You know, there's a part in... They're showing 1 minute you're here. He's recording vocals. You know, I guess he's playing guitar. in the vocal booth at the same time. He's being filmed. It's very intense. And there's a few moments where he looks at the camera. It's kind of heavy, right? During that song, he kind of makes eye contact, looking me right in the eye. And then there's a cool final moment at the end of the documentary, I guess, after most of the songs have been done. I guess it's the final toast by Bruce. It's very nice, right? He's kind of got the band standing around, and he's kind of just laying it out how happy he was with the work they did, and everything sounds great. And he's just really very gracious, and it's an amazing toast. You know, and let's have some more shots, right? Another reason to have some more drinks.
All right. What can I say? We're taking this thing till we're all in the box, boys. Till the wheels come off.
There you go.
Till we're all in the box. All I can say is the greatest thrill continues to be the greatest thrills of my life is standing behind that microphone with you guys behind me. This is the best playing on record, I think. Guy, it's just gotten better. It blows my mind to have everybody playing together at the same time and in the same room and to have it just come out sounding like that. You know, it's just one of the deepest experiences of my life. I love all of you.
Thank you.
Beyond words. Beyond
songs.
Beyond words.
It's all about the songs.
And
right?
The inspiration for those songs comes from what I know you guys are going to be playing. Yeah. We're going to have a lot of fun. Mr. Landau, you don't do such a bad job either.
Right? Sitting here and listening. You know, it's tough work.
Let's do it.
And one of my favorite moments, I'm so glad this was captured, is, you know, while the credits roll, there's this little kind of bonus scene, this cool moment of Bruce and Cousin Frank Bruno, right, the guy that taught him his first guitar chords. They're hanging out on, like, a porch. I guess it's Bruce's porch. And, you know, Bruce is playing Baby Eye on, like, an old silver-tone guitar that he mentions earlier, those silver-tone guitars that have the speaker kind of built in right to the body of the guitar, right? And he's playing this Baby Eye, which is, you know, the original Castile song, which is very cool. So awesome.
Yeah. All right, this was the first song George and I wrote, I think, called Baby Eye. Baby Eye, I don't need your tender kiss. Baby Eye, you never met. Baby Eye, something.
Practice that.
Baby, I need you to come over here.
So that's my first impressions on the album and the film, Letter to You. I'm sure my opinion may vary in the coming years with subsequent listens and viewings, but as of now, as of one listen and one viewing on both, I really dig the record and the film. If I'm being critical, I wish the film would have had a bit more of the creative process, more behind the scenes kind of things, more conversations with band members on getting the call from the boss, working with him and the other guys in the band after, you know, a few years off, more like the Blood Brothers doc. I love that behind the scenes stuff. I love that one so much. You know, there were some great behind the scenes moments in this film, but like the Western Stars film, it was mostly Bruce voiceover vignettes and then music video type performances of the songs in the studio with these quick like MTV edits. I didn't really dig that. And the exclusive thing to Apple TV is kind of dumb. Like, I thought it was going to be, like, I didn't know what Apple TV was. I thought Apple TV was like a Netflix, Hulu kind of Crave kind of thing. And it was just going to live there forever. And it's like, oh, here, now I got to subscribe to this other thing. But I was able to get, like, a free trial for 7 days, so I was able to watch it. Definitely going to cancel before the week is up so I don't get charged because Apple TV is terrible. I'd never subscribed to it. You know, they had nothing else on it to watch, and the streaming was clunky. I'd had issues watching that Beastie Boys story, Brutal, man. Like you would watch 10 minutes of it, and then it would just freeze, and then I would try to resume the film, and it would go right back to the start, or it would take me to this menu, and I would have Oprah Winfrey's face popping up on me, smiling at me sarcastically. Oh, I didn't like it. But whatever. The album is really good. The record, the music, like I said, I look forward to more listens and really getting to know these tunes. If anything, maybe a bit long, you know, 60 minutes long. And the three old songs from the early 70s, they really stick out amongst the others. The writing is different. They're great songs. I dig them, right? But it's just, they're 6-7 minutes long each. And, you know, the three sides of the record make it kind of disjointed and things. So how about this? I just had this idea. We cut 2 or 3 songs off the album. Right, if you cut the 3 songs from 71 off, it'd bring the album down to 9 songs, 40 minutes or something. That'd be perfect, right? It'd fit on one LP. What about this? What if we repurposed it for one record? How about side one opens with 1 minute You're Here, Letter to You, Burning Train, Last Man Standing, The Power of Prayer. There's side one, right? We flip the record over. We have side two. We have Ghosts, Rainmaker, House of 1,000 Guitars, and I'll See You in My Dreams. There we go. There's the record. 9 songs, 40 minutes. If you want to make it 10 songs, let's throw If I Was the Priest in there. I dig that one. So let's put If I Was the Priest in there in the middle slot in side two. So side two, we'll do Ghosts, Rainmaker, If I Was the Priest, House of 1,000 Guitars, I'll See You in My Dreams. That'll bring the record probably to like 45, 46 minutes or something like that. You know, that would fit on one record. You know, you'd have side one, side two. You'd have great opening tracks on each of those sides. You have great closing tracks on each of those sides. Then in a few months, release a 12-inch, like a Record Store Day 12-inch or something like that, right? With put Janie Needs a Shooter and Song for Orphans on that one. Maybe some different mixes of Ghosts or something else on there, an acoustic version of one of those songs or something like that. I would buy that, right? Then we can release the documentary, Letter to You, on DVD Blu-ray just in time for Christmas. Include a CD with Janie and Orphans on that or whatever else, you know? Like, that's the way to do it. Who's in charge? Who makes these decisions? It should be me. Give me a job. Someone give me a job. But that's just nitpicking, isn't it? You know, after one listen and one viewing, I really dig both the record and the doc. High recommends. I think I'll give the album another spin right now. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you next time.
So, that's the show, folks. Thanks for listening. You can find us on our website at trampslikeuspod.com. Communicate with us on Facebook at our Tramps Like Us podcast group page. Tramps Like Us podcast is a nonprofit audio fanzine created by fans for fans and is available for free. We are not affiliated with Bruce Springsteen or Columbia Sony Records. If you've heard any music you like, please find it and purchase it from brucespringsteen.net, Amazon, your local record store, or wherever music is sold. As always, gratitude and respect to Bruce Springsteen and all past and current members of the heart-stopping, pants-dropping, hard-rocking, booty shaking, earthquaking, love making, Viagra taking, history making, testifying, death defying, legendary E Street Band.
What do you say, bro? What do you say? Yeah, yeah. Welcome! Welcome!
The King, Johnny Boy Landau, live and in person.
Gentlemen
and ladies,
here's to the road!
San Siro.
San Siro.
Opening in San Siro.
San Siro.
Opening.
First of four nights.
Well. First of four nights.
I like that.
Right?
Four nights in San Siro. That's half the Italian
and
population.
Why not?
The entire population, and that's just the matinee.
Get new.
Yeah.
I remember one time they were singing Promised Land when we stopped, and you had trouble starting the next song, because when you hear that all together, who wants to stop that?
We played in Naples. They were singing internal riffs of Rosalita. Like the internal, little weird internal earworms. Not, you know, not the obvious ones. Weird little ones inside the song. You know, you heard people singing. The entire population down there is so incredibly musical. That's where Mom and Dora and Ida and we are sitting here today because those are our people. Another masterful day in the studio. Cheers to the mighty E Street Band.
Halfway done.
More, I think. You guys played beautifully. You hear these tracks back. They sound incredible. So hopeful. You guys deliver it.
Yeah.
Cheers.
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 Yeah, baby.
Here's to hope. Let's not forget the big man.
The big man.
The big man.
Danny Federici.
Danny Federici.